Hello, welcome everyone. My name is Ellen Arman. I am from Staten Island, New York. I am a friend of Jake Wyman. I work with Jake on Sheer Enjoyment. I've run it before. I did it during Sheer Room, and hopefully I say something good. Only the listeners know. Oh, yeah. So Jake asked me to give a cover up. I asked him if he wants to be interactive. And he wasn't sure, so it's up to you. What I think I'm going to do is I'm going to talk, and then if someone has a question or something, they could say something. It's okay with Jake. Jake, I know Jake several years now, and we get along well. One of the reasons why we get along well is because I generally know how to work with them, you know, and I'm just saying my way or the highway. And so, you know, so that's why. If you want to say something, just, you know, just say it, and no problem. I don't really know who I'm speaking to exactly. Jake told me a few people, and whatever it is, you can tell me your name and whatever it is. So without further ado, Jake told me as well that we'll be doing this for the summer. We'll see. We'll take it one day at a time, and we'll see what we're doing. So Jake asked me to give Sheer, and I said, what should I give Sheer on? And he said, whatever you want. So I thought about it a couple days, and I decided we're going to be learning about the 3 weeks. Some of it's going to be from memory, and some of it's going to be from Svarim. I'm going to be doing something a little bit different. So, of course, tomorrow is Shiloh Subotamos, and I'm not usually, you know, a Debbie Downer or someone who's very negative, but, of course, the 3 weeks is known to be a bad time. It just is. Also, talk about why. It's not our life course, right? As Jews, right? Mitzvah Gedol, Yos B'Simcha Tamid, Rabbi Nachman, the teaching Rabbi Nachman to always be happy, you know, and to do mitzvot with a lot of joy and hislavis. But in 3 weeks during the year, we take some time, especially the 9 days, and we remember the Beis HaMikdash. And when we remember the Beis HaMikdash, it's a sad thing because we don't have it and we want it back. But we could grasp Hashem and we could be connected to Hashem. So we'll talk a little bit about the 3 weeks and we'll talk about certain parts. Jake told me as well, I think I have 20 to 30 minutes. So I'll be doing about 20, 30 minutes, something like that. And every day we'll do something about the 3 weeks. Some of it will be text, some of it will just be talking. So you could follow along with certain things. So I'll give an introduction to the 3 weeks. So what are the 3 weeks? I'm sure people probably have heard of it, know a little bit about what it is. Okay. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, they went into Eretz Yisrael, and they had the Mishkan. It's actually a big machlokes. Should they have had the Mishkan? Do they really need the Mishkan? Eventually, when the Jews go into Israel, so David HaMelech is king, and Hashem tells David HaMelech there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. One problem, David's not going to build it. His son Shlomo is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And so Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash. It is a magnificent, magnificent structure. Believe it or not, you can't find artistical depictions. In the last several years, they're finding things what they think may have looked like. They find archaeological things. There was definitely one, so if anybody ever questions it, there was definitely a Beis HaMikdash. The artists could imagine what it's like. There are descriptions in Gemara, the descriptions possibly in Tanakh. And so Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. It was for approximately 400 years. Beis HaMikdash stood for 400 years, and then Nebuchadnezzar, who was from Babel, came and destroyed it. Okay, the story, we're not going to talk too much about it now, is found in Tanakh. Malachim Beis, the end of Malachim Beis, Nebuchadnezzar destroys the first Beis HaMikdash, Okay? So what does that have to do with Shiloh Subotamos? But several years before, I forget exactly when, before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the walls of the city were breached. I think the walls, I don't know if the walls of the city or the walls of the base of Mikdash, I forget exactly, was breached. And as I always like to say, once you see something bad happening, you know there's going to be trouble. Meaning, once certain things are heading in the wrong direction, they're heading in the wrong direction. There was a Navi, his name was Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who prophesied, you know, the base of Mikdash is going to be destroyed, and the people did not want to hear that. Okay? That's silliness. Never going to happen. They don't want to listen to him. Much similar to the way sometimes rabbis get up and we won't talk about issues, but say, this is going to, you know, you need to correct yourself. You need to stop talking in shul. You need to stop speaking Lashon Hara. And, what are you talking about? You know, okay, that was Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu said the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. You need to stop. And before it was destroyed, there was the walls were breached. That is Shilas HaBetamis. So the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which we won't talk too much about it now, but it was destroyed because of Aviros. So Lo Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. It was destroyed because of Aviros. The Jews go into exile for 70 years. And in that period of time, which I've given shir on, Jake might recall, my favorite Purim shir, 7 years, Purim takes place. Okay, in the 7 years between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and of course, Adar time, I love talking about Esther, Megillas Esther, but it's not Adar time, it's the 3 weeks. So we won't talk about that. Ezra, with I think Zerubbabel, goes in back into Eretz Yisrael, and Mordechai, yes, Mordechai from Esther, goes back into Eretz Yisrael and rebuilds the second Beis HaMikdash. And again, it stood for 400 years, approximately, I forget, 420, something like that. And the Romans came and destroyed it, okay? Both the first and second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed on the 9th of Av, and the walls were breached in Tammuz. I forget exactly. One was the 9th, and one was the 17th. They're close enough. They weren't the exact same day, but it was trouble. You could already see trouble. The story of the second Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, which is, again, not what we're going to be speaking about today, appears in Gittin, the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story, Daf, I think, Nunhei, which very weirdly comes up in Daf Yomi in a few days, which is just really weird, by the way, for anyone that's doing Daf Yomi. We might do it on the day of the Daf or something like that. It's a very weird the way it works out this year. But for anyone doing Daf Yomi, that's where the description takes place, the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story, which maybe in the future we'll do that. For now, we'll talk about Shilas HaBetamis. So that was the overview of the timeline of the Beis HaMikdash. In future shiurim, we'll talk about maybe what the Beis HaMikdash was and what it looked like, why was the Beis HaMikdash. But we're going to focus on, we're going to change gears again, and we're going to focus on Shilas HaBetamis. So 5 things happen on Shilas HaBetamis. And what I decided to do is, I usually read from a book called The Book of Our Heritage. And in my previous shiurim, I've done that. I read Akito, where he writes, and I just read off what he says. I have everything sourced because it's written down. You know, he sources it and writes. And we'll talk a little bit about it. I'll read a little bit from The Book of Our Heritage. But what I really wanted to do was explore the Siddur. I told Jake that exploring the Siddur would be a good idea, and this is what I have in mind. So tomorrow, if Mashiach isn't here yet, we're going to be saying Slichos. One of the things that goes on during davening is we daven, and we don't always know what we're saying, especially when it comes to Slichos. So everyone knows we get up early, right after Shemona Esrei, you know, probably if you're in camp, you do it to camp or whatever. I'm past that age, but right where you go to shul and you do slichos, and what it all seems to be is I'm just saying a lot of words, and I'm saying words, and things are bad. Okay, what am I saying? So I think we're gonna take some time to go through the slichos, the main part of Shilas HaBetamis, and focus on what the Python, the poet, is saying. Yes, these things are in poetry. And we'll talk a little bit about the poetry, and I've always wanted to do something like this. And tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, if the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt, So you can go to shul, and while you're davening, you're not gonna remember every word. You may not understand every word, but you can remember a little bit about what we talked about, and we could understand what we're saying. So I'll just take a pause. I mean, it's not ideal, but are we good so far? Are we doing pretty well so far?
Did 3 weeks have an official name?
Do they have a different name?
Do they have like an official name in Hebrew?
I think so. I have heard the term Bein HaMitzarim, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the future. Bein HaMitzarim, which means between the narrows. I guess now that the question has been asked, I'll answer briefly. I think it's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Bein HaMitzarim. Not sure if that official title is in the Gemara. I'll look it up. Between the narrows, and it's a very unlucky time. In the month of Av, we don't go to court, and I've always been very superstitious about the 3 weeks because it is written in Halacha and Hashkafa and in different places that it is not a lucky time. And it is not, and if you talk to people, whatever, you'll see that weird things happen during the 3 weeks. You know, things that you would never have imagined. You know, it's the summertime, whatever, it happens. Bein HaMitzarim. It's called the Bein HaMitzarim. It's not a time to panic, but just to be a little bit cautious. And generally speaking, things aren't. You know, most people probably say 95% things go on course, but sometimes you could just see something, and it's like, you could just feel like it's something because of the Bein HaMitzarim. The Bein HaMitzarim is what it's called. In Halacha, for the 9 days, we won't talk about that yet, but you don't go to court the 9 days, you don't, you know, there's questions about, in terms of Hashkafa, Halacha we'll get to later, you don't, what else, Hashkafically, yeah, you try not to do things that are dependent on chance, you know.
Eat.
What? Eat?
We don't eat meat.
We don't eat meat. Right. Well, that's in Halacha. That is in Halacha, which we'll get to. Hashkafically, though, in terms of lucky and unlucky things. So if you have a sitter, I have the Art Scroll Sitter, page 862, and you'll forgive me, I'm a little bit congested. I'm a little bit congested. But 862 in the Art Scroll Sitter will go through the Slichos, okay? And I have referenced in Book of Our Heritage. So tomorrow will be davening, and then after davening, say Slichos, followed by the Elokeinu, we start the Slichos, and this is what we're going to be saying in English. Elokeinu, okay, Elokeinu, Asanu l'chol yotzei ruchos. We have come to you, O molder of spirits. So this is one of the piyutim. I don't know anything about it. People who are experts sometimes know who wrote it and when it was written and why it was written and all these things. I don't really know. But one of the things I noticed that Art Scroll highlights is that it's written in Aleph Bet order. It's called an acrostic. Aleph Bet. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zion, all the way to Tuf. And there could be a few reasons for this. One, believe it or not, sometimes they wrote it because it's easier to remember. It is a poem. And I think part of it is that it's to remind us that everything that happens in the world is specific. Even when the Beis HaMikdash, the walls are being breached, the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed, it's not haphazard. It's something very specific. And when bad things happen, it's supposed to wake us up, and we're supposed to remember things happen for a reason because we collectively did not do the right thing. Why are there stars in the world? Why do things happen? Because we collectively, we don't do the right thing. We don't keep Shabbos properly. We speak in Shonara, talk during davening, et cetera, et cetera. All these things. We're not careful, whatever it is. Everybody knows what they may have done wrong for themselves. Okay, so the poem starts off, we have come to you, O molder of spirits, which I think is a very poetic way of saying Hashem, Yotzer Ruchos. I think I recognize it from the Chumash. I think it's actually in something similar. It's actually in this week's Parsha by Pinchas, Elokei Ruchos. which is interesting. Okay, our groans grew heavy with our abundant iniquities, right? We did the wrong thing. Strong are the decrees and many of the shrieks for on the 17th of Thomas, the tablets were smashed, okay? Moshe broke the luchos on Shavuot Thomas. So five things happened, and one of the things that happened was that Moshe broke the luchos on Shavuot Thomas. Was there a question or comment?
Yes.
Yeah, what's up?
My bar mitzvah parsha is this week.
Oh, happy birthday. Very nice. Very, very nice. Very nice. Good. Very good. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to continue. We were exiled from the chosen house, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaKira. Our judgment was sealed, and the decree was issued, and its light was darkened to us. For on the 17th of Tammuz, the Torah was burned. So I did a little bit of research. Five things happened on Shavuot and Tammuz. One, Moshe broke the luchos. Two, something named Apostamus burned the Torah. In Book of Our Heritage, he talks a little bit about it. I'm not really sure the whole story. I think he says that little is known about this, but it happened sometime in history where a Sefer Torah was burned, which is, of course, not good. Not good. Okay? Let's see if I can find it. I'm not sure. But it's one of the five things that happened. Apostamus burned the Sefer Torah. Our enemies tore down the sanctuary, meaning, right, the Heichal and the Beis HaMikdash. And God's presence fled. Not literally, but it means that it felt as if Hashem was away from us because we did the wrong thing. From the sanctuary's corner, we were consigned to the hands of wanton ones to be consumed, meaning our enemies tried to hurt us. From the 17th of Thomas, an idol set up in the sanctuary. Okay, so there was an idol, an Avodah Zarah, in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, I'm not sure which one this was. Let's see. Let me see if Brother Kito writes about it. No, I don't see it here. But that was the third thing that happened, okay? Moshe broke the luchos, Apostamus burned the Sefer Torah, and Ina was put up in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Well, can you imagine? Can you imagine a geshka being put up in a shul? Let alone the Beis HaMikdash. We were scattered from city to city. Old and young among us were taken captive. The site of our joy, Jerusalem, was set afire. From the 17th of Thomas, the city wall was breached. The destroying oppressor behaved insanely in the sanctuary. From groom and bride, armband, and bracelet were taken. Because they angered you, they were delivered, right? Meaning Hashem. They were delivered to destruction. From the 17th of Thomas, the carbon tomb stopped. Okay? The luchos were smashed, the Torah was burned, an idol was put in. The city walls was breached, and the carbon tablet stopped. He goes through it. Every splendor and praise ceased from us. The foe unsheathed his sword to exterminate us. So basically, bad things happen. Okay, and it goes through a lot of them. I have a little bit of time left, so I'm going to go through the others. And it continues. It is worthy to take a look and to go through it and to see what it says. We strayed in your very presence through contentious talk. We did the wrong thing. Therefore, our tongues were taught to utter dirges. Okay? I mean, we did the wrong thing, so now we have to mourn those who passed away. Okay? And that's one of them. The second one. Okay? I am embittered with weeping at the hand stretched out in destruction. For I angered God amid his temple through treachery and robbery. He swiftly fled in 10 stages and ascended to the seventh heaven. He cut me down, distressed me, and consumed me in this fourth month. Right? So the fourth month is Thomas. He sent me still in Thomas. Bad things happened in Thomas. He brought the appointed time with full severity to break my blossoming youth. Twice he inflicted him with crippling infirmity. Because I did not wait 6 hours longer for my shepherd Moses, tablets were broken, right? So in Chumash, right, Moshe was only like a few hours short, and the Jews already did Avodah Zarah. They were already bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. I was adorned from his hand with golden ornaments, armband, and bracelet that were brushed away on the day of his wrath when my corrupted ways brought destruction. So again, right, we as Jews, we did the wrong thing. This is why the bad things happened. I hated to maintain the order of temple service and the regular elevation offerings of the altar. Therefore, the daily offerings stopped coming from the chamber of sheep. Okay? So it could be what the author is saying is people do not appreciate the carbon tallit. They didn't appreciate the carbonos that we did. I mean, the Canadian Nida was stopped. She was exiled like an outcast deer that no one cared to shelter. Okay. And we'll do now the third one. We'll do one more poem. So, before I continue, any questions or comments so far?
We're good?
Okay. Okay, so the third one is what's called a pismon. A pismon. I don't know exactly the difference between a pismon and a piyut. They're both basically poems. And I always love the pismonim because we open the aron and we say it together. And it's often very powerful just in terms of how things develop. So this one starts, She'ei Ne'asah, okay? And Shul, the aron, they say here it's recited responsively by Chaz and congregation. I believe in Shul where I go. They open the aron, the chazan says it, the congregation says it, and then it's flipped. Okay? So the aron should be open for this one. And it's always the third one. It's always the last one for some reason. Turn to the captive nation that was delivered to Babylon and Seir. Okay? So when we read these words, Bavel is who destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash. The Jews were exiled to Bavel. They went to Bavel. Seir is Esav. I think that's the second base of Mikdash, the Romans. Okay. So turn to the captive nation that was delivered to Babylon and Seir, meaning the Jews. The Jews fell in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the Romans. For you it yearns for so very long, supplicating like a young child. On a day when the enemy overpowered and the city was breached. Okay? So it's a poetic way. The chorus of this poem, if you will, is on the day when the enemy overpowered and the city was breached. Okay? Meaning that whether it was Nebuchadnezzar of the first Beit HaMikdash or the Romans of the second Beit HaMikdash, they had power and the city walls were breached. And you have to understand that in history, which is very relevant, is that when a city wall was to protect the city, it was very much teva that all nations did. And they set it up. And when that goes, the security goes. Now, but we know that whatever happens, Hashem controls everything, right? That's basically part of Judaism. So they could have done tshuva, and then the enemy could have been driven out. It was almost like a warning shot. And this is really the way within Judaism we believe Hashem operates, usually. We don't always know exactly, but Hashem doesn't usually bring a catastrophic punishment. It starts with something small. We all of a sudden trip. We lose a few dollars. And that's when these things happen to us. This is Hashem waking us up. Hey, you dropped, like last night I dropped my wallet. I couldn't find my wallet. And I was freaking out. And so I said, if I find my wallet, I'll give $1 to Stucker. I got my wallet in my hand. I gave a couple of dollars to Stucker. Now, I don't know what I did wrong, so I would have to do that, but hopefully that was what I was supposed to do, right? If a person goes, whatever, they dropped a wallet, they lost it, then maybe we're not getting the message. Hashem's trying to poke us. Hey, I need you to wake up and do something. You're not doing the right thing. This is Hashem's way of shaking us. So when the city walls were breached, that was step one. The security is breached, and now the enemy can do what they want. But if the Jews do tshuva, then perhaps they didn't. They wouldn't. But unfortunately, whatever, which we'll discuss another time, whatever Averos they were doing or whatever, did not cease. I do believe, I heard from my rabbi, that Joseph Thomas was not 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av. It was like several years, as I mentioned. It just appears on the calendar 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, so that's why we have the 3 weeks. But I believe in history it was a few years before. Okay, even if it was a few weeks before, we could do tshuva in a few weeks. But it was even a few years, and people just, they didn't get the message, and they didn't do the right thing. For this I am bowed, and clap my hands on a day size transits disperse me, as we said, size and tap and Shivasapatama. Because of the golden calf, the tablets left me. Okay? Because the Jews worshiped the Bodhisattva, Moshe threw the glucose down. The daily offering was abolished, the enemy put me into chains. And I was placed in a beautiful sanctuary, he denied me his counsel. The meal offering, the Karma Atomic, came to a stop, and the enemy burned your law in flames. On the day when the enemy overpowered and the city was breached, I became exceedingly ill and terrified on the day the Almighty pushed me away. The light grew dark, and Sheshach, Bavel, tossed me like a ball. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed everything and did horrible things that is mentioned in Tanakh. The serpents from the north, Nebuchadnezzar, flooded me like a raging flood. The hunter Edom put out his grasping hand, as did the hairy he-goat, Greece. Okay, I guess that, I'm not really sure. So Nebuchadnezzar is associated with Bavel. Exile of Bavel is associated with the first Beis HaMikdash. Edom, Rome, is, I think, the second Beis HaMikdash. There's Yavon, Greece, is Hanukkah. That's also the second Beis HaMikdash. That's where the whole Hanukkah comes out. And we're in the fourth Bavel. I think it's called, it might be Edom, I forget exactly. And this is our, of course, final Golos before the Beis HaMikdash. It's considered, I think, Golos Edom. But I think the Rome is also, I forget exactly. But on a day when the enemy of a power in the city was breached, oh, glory in my heart, my fortress, will your wrath burn forever? Is Hashem going to be angry at us forever? Have you not seen the exhausted people that was blackened like a furnace all throughout the centuries, all the horrible things that happened to Jews? Fences might breach through the offering of parrots, the Mashiach, and pluck the rose from among the thorns. Okay? On the day when the enemy overpowered, the city was breached. Okay, so here the Mashiach is mentioned, and we're not going to talk about that today, but the 3 weeks actually have, I've thought about it in the past, as sort of a dichotomous idea. That is, it has a dual function, as two ideas. On the one hand, we're very, very sad that Beis HaMikdash isn't around, but there's actually a very joyous and happy part of the 3 weeks, and we'll talk about that more in future, Shiorim. We're in Titus, I think. We're in Titus, I always forget. Somewhere it says something like, whoever mourns the Beis HaMikdash will see the Zocha V'Onevla, will see the redemption of it. So this is part of the reason why we do it. When we remember with the bad things that happened to the Beis HaMikdash and everything that we did, that's a big merit to see Mashiach coming, especially very soon. And the only time I generally will talk about Mashiach, as Jake knows, I've rarely mentioned it in my shiurim, is the 3 weeks, because that is the time to remember. When we remember the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, part of a message of the 3 weeks isn't just that it was destroyed, that's horrible, but that there will be redemption and that Mashiach will come. That is part of the message of the 3 weeks. That's why, that's the message that, as a general idea, we remember, and we're really supposed to remember it every day. Mashiach will come any day, every day. And that's what we believe, Mashiach will come. Jews are supposed to believe Mashiach is coming today, but the 3 weeks are one of those times, like auspicious, like a special time. I'll just say as well, just take another minute. Everybody should have an easy fast. The Rambam says that the purpose of a fast is to do tshuva. So if a person can't fast, they should at least do tshuva. Okay? And everybody should be careful and safe. And if there are no other questions, it was nice giving shir. And I'll speak to Jake about future shir. Any questions or comments?
Thank you so much, Ellie.
You're welcome. My pleasure. We should have an easy, meaningful fast. I'll be speaking to Jake as to when we'll be resuming. Have a wonderful night to all.